varmaan tutkin sen kertomaan ja sitten pöydällä näen jo, että on mielenkiintoisia asioita, joista kuulemme. Hei, kiitos.
Kiitos paljon, Pekka. Tervetuloa. Good afternoon for everyone. I'm Christoph Fenyvesi. It was just perfect pronunciation. It sometimes takes time for me as well to pronounce my name on the right way. I'm Hungarian and living here in Jyväskylä and working here in the Department of Music, Art and Culture Studies. But I'm also working here in the Agora in some projects and also collaborating with the Department of Teacher Education. And there are old and new friends in the room, happily also from Mexico and many, many places around the world. So welcome every one of you. And perhaps the old friends know it quite well that what it will be all about, but I hope you won't be bored still. There might be even some new things for you. But today I really thought to follow this honoring invitation to give some summary what has happened very recently in connection with the Faculty of Information Technology and here in Agora, and also give some little account on what's coming next and where are we now. So this title of the lecture, it's a bit coming probably from the pop, from the popular culture, this give me steam. Maybe you already heard it sang in the radio, but this steam is not that steam what they were singing about. This a bit different steam, and create your own art with mathematics and create your own mathematics with art. So that's the topic what I mainly will talk about. But what is this steam? So those of you who are working in the education, you perhaps hear more and more in these days that how we should move away a bit from the STEM, what was science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, towards STEAM or different kind of acronyms, which maybe brings us closer to culture and humanities, that to recognize that all these wonderful innovations and all these future related visions rooted in the STEM can be only effective and can be only worth to pursue on if they are an integrated part of the culture, if they become a part of our human understanding, and if these are help us as humans to feel a bit better in this world. So that's why we are more try more and more extend towards the STEAM from the STEM integration. And what's happened recently here, we had a quite big conference taking place in Agora just in last August. It was called Bridges Finland 2016, and actually this is an annual conference of the world's largest mathematics and art community, and not only mathematics and art community, but we can say that it's also a kind of a STEAM community, because all of these things which are connected to mathematics and arts have some relations to other fields in this STEAM integration. And eventually, that was a very happy news just maybe some weeks ago, it happened that we got the award of the event of the year in Jyväskylä, in the Congress City. So you cannot really achieve higher at this place with an event. So we were really, really happy for it. But we were mostly happy because I think it was signed also that this academic event was also culturally recognized. So if you think that it's not only a conference prize, but the prize for an event in general. So there will other cultural events in the hat where our event came out of it. But how it can be that it was culturally recognized event as well, a conference, an academic event. I will say some words about this. But before I would go into the bridges topic, I just changed this little poster a little bit to invite you already to our next upcoming events, when Cambridge Mathematics, one of the top policymaker and policy assessment, mathematics education policy assessment venture will visit us here in Jyväskylä, and we will make together a forum. We try to have a kind of a review of what's happening now today in Nordic mathematics education and how it relates to other trends in the world, and what the future can bring us. So we try to bring here also the most important policymakers from makers from Finland to have a forum, and not only policymakers and not only researchers, but teachers. Of course, we will need teachers here to discuss all what is happening now in this situation now. And to show you some snapshots from this Bridges conference, why it could have been a bit special, a bit different. You can see that's also already a bit different conference picture, conference photograph than other usual conferences. Actually, this guy here called Harry Segerman had a lecture on spherical photography and the geometry of spherical photographs, and there was somebody in the audience who thought that, okay, we need the conference photo with this technology, and we took the conference photo with exactly that technology what was introduced. That very well represents the spirit of Bridges, because this is Harry Segerman's other book about 3D printing. It's a very good book and very easily understandable, very useful in education. I can recommend for you this book. But it happens often, the Bridges, that if we have a presenter who talks about musical connections and music and mathematics connections, maybe if he not only a mathematician, but a MIDEM Award winner, classical violinist, he just takes his Stradivarius and then illustrates the Bach piece with musical experts, excerpts in live during his speech, as it was happened with Cory Karofsek, who also gave a musical concert during the conference. And the concert was, of course, open for everyone in Jyväskylä. But we had also jugglers, juggler mathematicians presenting juggling problems, not only in formula, which may be not the most spectacular way of seeing this, what's happening here, but it was very interesting, and they also presented some quite interesting real-world connections with these algorithms, that, for example, how a control center can organize on the airport that which flight can take off and which flight can land, and when there is many flights in the air in the same time, but a closed number of airways trips, then how it can be organized. So, and there were a lot of workshops also for teachers. I brought some illustrations also from the things what we have been making there, but there were also some larger scale models. And this was a kind of a usual cafe break from the Bridges, because we had a music professor from Cambridge who made a lecture on polyrhythmia and polyrhythmic approaches. but he just called his Kenyan friends, and they also presented in a vivid attitude that what polyrhythmia means when you not only analyzing it, but when you dance polyrhythmic structure. So it was very nice, and of course the academic record is quite rich of this conference. So I brought you the proceedings. You can take a look, and also the art catalog for art exhibition. We had more than 200 mathematical artworks in this building exhibited, and very interesting, a poetry anthology, maybe for our poet Mohsen Ahmadi is a poet from Iran and Mexico and from all over the world. He's a truly cosmopolitan. This is for you, Mohsen, but please show it to the others. So this is a poetry anthology of mathematical poems. So you can see that it was a relatively colorful event. And next year, the Bridges will take place in Waterloo, Canada. If we will have time in the end, maybe we will take a look to the invitation video to Canada. But actually, on bridgesmatart.org, this is the web address, and here you will get the invitation to Waterloo. You can find the Bridges website, and actually all of these materials are available for free. So the proceedings and everything what we are creating year by year. And to show some pictures from earlier Bridges, so maybe some of you already know that who is this person. Osmo can't answer to this question because he knows, but others can have some guesses that who is this guy here. Pekka, have you met with him? Not yet. Others? Okay. Actually, he's the person behind the Rubik's Cube. He's Erno Rubik. He was once also the keynote speaker of Bridges. And he's very hard to contact and living a quite isolated life. But when we managed to bring him, everybody was very excited that what he will talk about. We had no idea because he just had one email sent to us before. When we asked that, will you come and send all the information, he just answered one word, yes. That was it, and we couldn't be sure that if he will arrive or he forgot it or what's happened. And actually, he arrived in the last minute, maybe 2 minutes before his time. He walked out from his car and walked in just sharply in the room. And room was full, media. You can see the crowd around him. Everybody wanted an autograph on his first Rubik's Cube or whatever. And everybody waited that maybe he will tell about his newest game, his newest invention, or something secret thing in connection with the cube. But no, he was talking about Rubik's Cube as a social phenomenon. He was talking about that how the game, with its colors, with its structures, how it became a cultural symbol, and how it changed a little bit or culture, how it added to the culture, a simple game, a simple invention. Basically, it's quite simple, although it seems quite complex and so on. And it was really, really interesting, and he was went quite deeply into that, that talking on many things, that how is we look differently on design and gaming and many kinds of playfulness and many kinds of things. But there are also a lot of examples of ethnomathematics, for example, how to design mosaics and tiling from different cultures, Islamic culture, Persian culture, or how you can use different kind of modeling tools to represent quite complicated structures. I also brought just one model, which you can actually take a look if you want, and some more snapshots from the exhibit and some snapshot from these large structures what we usually build. This is a one-week long conference, and these monsters are built in 1 week, full time for some people. And that what is nice about them, that children can join and professors can join, and they enjoy on the same way. That's pretty interesting. So it's also a kind of a community building tool. We always say, or I always try to say, that when you build a huge construction, there is maybe one thing what is more important, what you build. In that time, you build the community, because it requires a lot of people, coordinated work towards a kind of a coordinated goal, but everybody can contribute on their own best. And that's very interesting. And not many of you have been following the previous talk. There was a talk here just 1 hour before about cybersecurity. And one of the most important message was that cybersecurity needs to acquire the top talents, that we are lacking of top talents in cybersecurity. So we also looking for talents, and we are also looking for top talents with the educational perspective of these kind of activities, but we are looking for the top talent in everyone, in every single children. We want to get children get appreciation and try to find their way, their own way, towards mathematics and towards mathematics learning and the joy of making mathematics, doing mathematics and thinking about mathematics through their own way. And that's how art and this kind of creative approaches can be helpful. And there are some other examples what I would like to show in connection with this. So you can see that children are always part of this kind of events and these approaches, and teachers as well. And you can see that if you are crazy enough like me, you can sit in the mathematical hairdresser's seat and get a geodesic dome on your head. And this is a little map of the connections what this field, what we have on this field. We have an educational community. It's called Experience Workshop. This is a community of mathematicians, artists, teachers, and parents and children. I brought some brochures for you about it. You can give it around. Yes, it's in Finnish and in English. And basically, the main thing about bridges and these kind of events, that we don't want that these events like a circus which are coming to town on one day and then leaving the town and nothing happened before and nothing will happen after. But we really would like to use this bigger event to prepare it on that way that we are establishing some kind of local community of teachers, parents, scholars, local artists, and who will also participating in the event and also helping us to maintain its impact and renew its impact time by time locally. And this is what happily happened also in Jyväskylä. So we have now several projects going on, which started up during the preparations of the bridges, and several projects are emerging now from this very fertile soil what has been brought to here. And what the Faculty of IT and the University gained from this event now in an objective sense or in the sense of objects. So, for example, we have a lot of educational tools which were donated to the university and to the Finnish children or the children of Finland. I brought some pictures to show it, so puzzles and construction tools. I have a huge collection of these, what you can see on the table. And also a beautiful art collection arrived here to Agora. So this is, I don't know how much is it seen, but this is a graphics drawing here, and the cylinder-like mirror is put on the middle, and you can see maybe Albert Einstein portrait emerge from the picture. So this is a Manierist technique, so from the art history, it's a very well-known technique, but it's based 100% on perspective illusion and mathematical calculations to create this. And this artist, István Orosz, his name, he has several perspectival and mathematical based artworks, which will be exhibited here from April, most probably. You can see them, these works, on the Agora corridors. And there was another beautiful exhibit by Rinus Rolofs, and one of his piece also landed here in Agora, and some other artworks. And actually, we also had a mathematical art exhibit for children, an interactive exhibition. It was in the Soichtu in the university museum. And it was just the preparations. The pictures are for the preparations, the opening. And you can see that how children took over the place almost immediately. And actually, in 2 months, 3,000 local children visited this exhibit and took part in the active workshop. This is a very large number in the history of our university museum. And actually, teachers were looking for that. They wanted to bring, they spread the news themselves. So it's shown that there is a kind of a thirst, there is a kind of a want towards these kind of events. And what was also very nice that we had a lot of workshop guides, art history students, art education students, mathematics education students, future math teachers, who actually worked out their own workshop topics. So we not forced anything. There was no preliminary made materials. They could work out their own programs. And for example, these kind of workshops emerged from this, and you can see some pictures. And actually, this also led us to another project. It's called Kids Inspiring Kids for STEAM. This is an Erasmus project with the participation of Finland, Hungary, UK, Cambridge, and Spain. And it's also very effective, and we very well could connect this with the exhibit and all what is happening here, and more teachers are interested about these activities. You can see some of these publications related to this exhibit what we were working on with Hannu Salmi from Helsinki. He's a professor of informal learning, and actually these are probably one of the first empirical studies on STEAM-related exhibits in Europe. STEAM is very well known, very popular in the US. It's originally a US concept. There is a lot of studies about it, but in Europe it's quite a new approach. So these are probably quite important. So you can see some more pictures on how we are working with children and what kind of things we are doing. I don't go now into details of this certain structure, but this is also a beautiful opportunity to do collaborative problem-solving work with children. So as it's a five-fold symmetry structure, there is a pentagon on the top. You can, for example, work with 25 children. In the same time, five children works on each side of the structure. And as each of these slices following the same structure, they actually have to work on the same problem. And these small groups, like little cells, trying to solve it, trying to find out how to come up with the structure. And they help the next group next to each other because they have to proceed together in step by step to make the structure intact and stable. And then, of course, it's a pretty big thing. It's almost 1,000 pieces, including this connector pieces. So you cannot make it in even in 1.5 hours, but maybe you need 3 hours or 4.5 hours, depending on the age of the children. So it also means that you have one group for 1.5 hours. They maybe reach this level. Then another group comes. So you can also model on this way intergenerational work, because they know it well that if they don't work punctually, then the next group of students will fail and the whole project will fail. But actually, it's never failed any time we were doing it. We always reached this wonderful moment when they can come into the dome, and then you can transform this all into a storytelling circle, for example, and talk about emotions, moods, feelings, relations to not even only to mathematics, but to each other and the group work and so on. So it really opens a little bit different playground, like what you can open in a traditional classroom. And actually, we don't say that every math class should be like this. We don't think, because mathematics is really colorful, really diverse, and you need different approaches for achieving different things. But we rather say that maybe with a class like this, a teacher and students can save a lot of energies which can be wasted for something not important things when there is just only a kind of a monolithic way of teaching. So this can be a kind of accumulators of positive energies, these kind of events, and teachers can decide, they can feel that how much time do they have for this. Of course, nobody have no time and rush, but maybe if they understand that they can save a lot of time with devoting a little time, then the question becomes a bit tricky. And what is the real-world connection of this? So together with Osmo Pekkonen, we are involved in rather crazy projects sometimes. Osmo, may I say it like that, rather crazy projects. For example, we were hooked by very crazy Dutch and British architects who coming to Finland year by year in the hardest coldest winter time, to build enormous ice structures. And actually, they sometimes fail. So this is really horrible. It's really risky to work with them, because they promise you that they will build the world's largest ice bridge, and this bridge is collapse. It's happened actually last year. We had this program as a bridges preparatory event, that it was an ice bridge according to the, it's not only an ice bridge, but according to the plans of Leonardo da Vinci. Leonardo had a plan to build a bridge on Bosphorus, and he offered it for the Sultan, but the Sultan was maybe a better physicist than Leonardo and told that this is crazy, it will collapse, you cannot make it anymore. And Leonardo couldn't make this bridge, but these Dutch people went to the library, take the plans, and they thought, okay, we will build it from ice in Finland in minus 30. They came here for 2 months and working very hard, and of course it collapsed. So not worked out. But this what I'm showing there, of course, we rather more often tell maybe success stories for the children. So in connection with this dome, I'm more proud to show this picture because it's happened. It's actually a world record. This became the world's largest ice dome, and it was built in eastern Finland in Juka near the Koli mountain. And it was an interesting technique. I don't go too much into the details, but they used an inflatable with a rope net, with a rope frame, and then they sprayed not only water, but water and pulp mixture on it. And then as it was pretty cold, it's immediately frozen. And then they achieved this wonderful ice dome, the world's largest ice dome. So you know that ice is really heavy material. So there are really physical limits of the size what you can build. And let's take one more step because we are at the ICT forum, but I was just talking about hands-on modeling. So there is some problem here maybe. But the problem is not that big because actually what we are doing is and what we are achieving to do a bit more deeper and to build the research on it. So this is in the half of our feet, this is exist, but another half we need to do more research on it. So actually we are using this software called GeoGebra. I don't know how many of you know this GeoGebra, GeoGebra. Do you know that? Rainer knows it. Osmo maybe have seen it. This is actually a math education software. It's open source, and it has very, very nice features. I hope that it will take us to the website. Until it works, I just tell some words about it, that basically you can, this is only the GeoGebra tube. They are collecting these GeoGebra materials, and it's absolutely free, and there is more than 700,000 materials created by many millions of teachers, actually more than 30 millions of teachers using this all over the world. And it combines geometry and algebra, as the name says, and it's a very, very effective tool. For example, let's see the dome. So I cannot show all the features now in this web version, but if you download the full version, you can study it a bit better. So you can move the structure, and during building, children can see that from different angles how does it looks like, and the computer can help to measure those angles, which probably not that easy to measure in real life, especially if you don't have the tool. And it can tell to you that if you make a plan, that how many of different size rods or sticks you will need to build that structure. You can study different symmetries, different features of the objects, for example, like that. If you want to see and understand more that how this very interesting structure is organized, it's much easier to complete the hands-on vision experience with the computer modeling. And also, what it's not that easy to understand through the computer screen, you have the physical model. So we have a huge tradition in education and in the history of mathematics and the history of science about modeling and hands-on modeling and making models. It's also an epistemological problem and a philosophical problem as well. So it's an enormous tradition, and we know quite much about it in education research as well. But we have this new tool of digital modeling, which is basically completely new, and there are a lot of troubles with it, actually, with teachers also sometimes afraid of technology, and sometimes not everyone is that eager user of technology. But there is a third problem, that if you want to connect this in the education process, then basically we don't know nothing about it. So there is the old thing, what we know a lot, there is a new thing, what we don't know too much, and it's not that well spread, not that established in the educational culture. But what is even more risky, that how you connect it, and how you connect it on a reasonable way, on a smart way, that you don't tell that you have to do this with the computer, which is even more reasonable to do by hands and to have the experience, or you don't go into the hands-on thing when you have the computer, which help to solve the thing. And this is something, I think, which also a kind of an important cultural step, what you can try to teach, for example, in the school. But if you don't know too much about it, then it's a bit hard to teach about it. So this is one of our goal, what we want to research more. And what are our other goals? And what is the... Okay, 5 minutes. Yo. So what is the background of it? So this provocative question, that would you like your children to grow up smarter than you? And there are a lot of challenges, the digital challenge, the attitude challenge, the social and cultural challenges, the motivation challenge, the visual challenge, and also the challenge of the massive collaboration. So this is actually the company of people who share authorship on single scientific papers. They are from CERN. And sometimes when they publish a paper, the journal have to publish an extra issue just with the names of them. So it's pretty crazy. So we are moving away from the traditional production of knowledge to the networked way of knowledge. And there are these innovative technologies and pedagogical practices, and not only the innovative technologies and practices, but also the new challenges that we have never seen and never faced with. But in spite of these attitude challenges, we see the children and the joy, and also we have research about it, that how they can immerse through activity into these highly complex topics, and how this new curriculum change, the multidisciplinary learning, can offer us also many things. But we also don't know a lot about multidisciplinary learning module, so we need more research about that as well. But this can open a window towards STEAM as well, if we want. And we have a lot of research results and publications, but you can see after the talk, and I'm happy to tell more insights about it. And maybe I jump a little bit, so I have some slides on collaborative problem solving, and also that how the inclusion of art can also help that mathematics learning and authorship can be connected, and how to move away from the product view, the end result view of mathematics, towards the process view of mathematics, and how you can include a bit more towards the creativity, and how you can balance probably between problem solving and routine tasks. There is a lot could be told about it, and also that complex problem solving, how complex problem solvings require complex skills and multidisciplinary or even transdisciplinary approaches, and how this can lead to foster multiple creativities, because we often just talk about creativity. But when we try to answer that what is creativity, we just find out that there is an infinite kind of creativities, different creativities, and actually there is a very limited tube what is that kind of creativity which is appreciated in the school. So there are creativities of very dangerous things, I mean, from the school viewpoint. So I brought some examples, even some robotics. This robot was made by some children in Ars Electronica and in the Helsinki Design Festival. I saved this from this guy. He was actually quite sad about it, but I just thought that I need to show it many interesting people around the world, so he could let it go. And also some new plans. I just brought this BBC microbit to show. In this box there are 10 microcomputers. So this is not a mice food, but actually a computer inside. If you can take it out, Rainer. And we will think about that, how to connect that microcomputer maybe with this kind of vehicles. And this is on a way, you all heard about Lego Mindstorms, and there are a lot of tools. So the Lego Mindstorms are great, but in my opinion, this is somehow a Lego Mindstorm 2.0 or something like that, because in Lego Mindstorms you have the modules already, but here you don't have nothing. Almost nothing. That you have the lines and the connector, so you have the same thing what an engineer has, probably a pencil and a ruler, and you have to think about every little details, that how the batteries can be stored there, how the engines can be integrated, how it will move, what kind of engines do you have, and you need to create the modules themselves to make this thing run. Okay, I have a lot of videos and a lot of other examples, but I don't mind that Pekka told that it's enough. Now maybe we will have some time to talk a bit, and I can go into details for questions if you are interested to ask something. Maybe I have this message to you, or not me, but even some other guys, that one's mind, once stretched by a new idea, never regains its original dimensions. And we have seen it, that it's proved. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Christoph. A very excellent lecture, and you have prepared it very profoundly.
Yes.
I've never seen such a multi-discipline presentation. I hope that this collaboration will continue, and we will have really that kind of teaching at our university.
Thank you.
Questions? Or comments?
Yeah, just I think it's extremely important how you kind of the hands-on approach and then the computer-based approach as complementary things, something that you are just working.
It's just records for the camera. Okay. So
yeah, so that you need both of them, but I think that quite a natural next step would be to have some sort of augmented reality type, yeah, of things where you could, so that they would not be two separate approaches, but you could do them in a seamless way, combining the virtual and then the physical hands-on stuff.
Mm-hmm. Let me show you something, Rainer. I don't know. Sorry, maybe it's not that video, but there is one other video where there is this booklet, and actually this is an augmented reality booklet. So you can see the models in 3D from, but several other more things are possible with that. But we are also thinking about it.
Yeah, I think it would be possible to combine a Unity engine, for example, and the GeoGebra,
yes.
So that you could
yes.
use them for virtual reality environments.
Yeah.